On a June day in 1988, an enormous crowd of 75,000 people gathered at the Wembley Stadium in London to go to Nelson Mandela's 70th birthday tribute concert. At that time, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned in South Africa for his anti-apartheid activism.
He is a symbol of their fight against the cruel and unjust system of apartheid.
The star-studded concert was to be legendary. It was broadcast to 60 million people in 67 countries around the world. There were headliners like Harry Belafonte, Whitney Houston, and Stevie Wonder. The energy was electric, and everything was going to plan. But then, behind the scenes, chaos erupted. Stevie Wonder's crew had misplaced an important piece of equipment right before he was supposed to get on stage, and Stevie Wonder left the stadium in tears. In a rushed attempt to fill the spot, someone else was sent up. This someone else was a young black woman named Tracy Chapman.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere.
She stood on stage in a baggy black turtleneck, holding an acoustic guitar and taking in the 70,000 people waiting to hear her music.
You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. We won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living.
She looked tiny compared to the massive stadium and crowd. At that point, Tracy Chapman was relatively unknown. Folksy music played by a black musician was pretty rare. But as soon as she started playing, it seemed like the crowd was under a spell. And it wasn't just the crowd. Tracy Chapman's performance of Fast Car transcended time and space. Several years later, in a little farming town in Arizona, a 10-year-old girl, the daughter of Nigerian immigrants, watched a recording of that very concert.
I don't even know how to explain it. It truly did feel like a sort of supernatural experience, just like seeing someone who looked like me holding a guitar.
That's Joy Oladokun. At the time she watched Tracy Chapman's performance, she had never played a guitar.
I truly had never seen a black woman play the guitar. It just was this experience of, holy crap, I can do that. And I want to do that, and I should do that, you know?
Nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belong. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
Today, Joy performs her own concerts around the country. Like Tracy Chapman in London, she stands on stage strumming an acoustic guitar, filling the space with soulful songs that carry pain, power, and everything in between.
Thank you.
So, how did Joy get here? For this episode, we talked to Joy to learn more about her journey of becoming the musician she dreamed of as a child. I'm Trisha Mukherjee.
And I'm Benjamin Swift.
And you're listening to the sixth and very last episode of season one of People Place Power.
I can't believe we're already at the end of this first season.
I know. Remember when we came up with the idea for this show back in like March 2020?
That seems like centuries ago.
So since then, we've had the privilege of talking to some incredible activists around the world. And some of these stories have been really heavy and others have been a lot lighter.
But every single person we talked to inspired us so much.
So I wanted this last episode to be a celebration with a lot of music.
I'm so excited to hear it.
Yeah, so that's Joy's music. It's a celebration. It's not just happy and it's not just sad. It takes all the emotions that come with accepting yourself and navigating the world and creating change. It translates those emotions to melodies and lyrics that make you feel grateful and complete.
And Joy's music is some of the most powerful music I've ever heard. Trisha reported this episode, so I'll let her take it away.
I first talked to Joy around a year ago.
Yeah, my name is Joy Oladokun. My preferred pronouns, I guess, are she, her. And I live in Nashville, Tennessee, in a tiny house on the east side with my dog and my girlfriend. And I'm a musician, and I want to make songs that make me better and make the world better.
Joy spent her childhood in Casa Grande, Arizona.
My hometown is like a farming town, like there are cows and cotton and like a high school, and the shopping mall opened my senior year of high school, so it's like on its way up, but it took a long time.
She swears that Arizona has the best Mexican food.
Texas has tried and failed. California sticks French fries in their burritos, so I don't even know why we're having this conversation.
And she grew up driving through the wide open landscape.
When I hear pop punk music or like screamo music, I think of my like edgy years. Driving in my car and thinking no one would understand me, and I'm like just like it's just a stretch of endless desert.
In Casa Grande, Joy stood out as one of the few Black kids. Her parents were Nigerian immigrants who made sure that their daughter felt tied to their culture.
I'm first generation, so like it's just my parents and my sisters here in America, and then everybody else still lives in Nigeria. I ate Nigerian food growing up as a kid. And kids would go on summer vacation, and I would spend the entire summer in Nigeria, like, running around at market with my grandma. I don't know, it's a gift to, like, have such a, like, tangible, experiential knowledge of my culture.
But in addition to the obstacles that came with being one of the few Black people in Casa Grande, Joy believes it gave her a unique sense of identity, which she still carries with her today.
I'm a Black girl that sings folk music, and there are like three of us alive today. yeah.
Joy would spend a lot of time in church singing.
There was something that I feel is really good for me about getting up there every Sunday and like doing a killer music performance and like having all the credit not go to me, you know? Like, because it's, like, it's a party for Jesus, and, like, that, it, like, even as a teen, like, I was, like, reverent towards that. I was like, it's not about what I'm doing, it's not about how I look, it's not any of this.
And when she was 10 years old, sitting in her home in Arizona, sifting through the tapes her dad had recorded years ago, she saw that life-changing video of Tracy Chapman up on stage at the Wembley Stadium.
And then after that, I literally spent every day until Christmas begging my parents to buy me a guitar, and they did.
And that was the beginning of her musical career. Joy's popularity has really exploded recently. She was featured on the 2021 Artist to Watch lists of NPR, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Vogue named her the number one LGBTQ+ artist to listen to. Benjamin and I have been seeing her name everywhere, from news outlets to a giant billboard in Times Square. But between when Joy begged her parents to get a guitar and today, she's poured her heart and soul into her music. So for this episode, we're going to try something new. Inspired by the podcast Song Exploder, we're going to learn about Joy's life and inspirations through three of her songs. Here we go.
I'm scared of getting pulled over 'cause of someone else I look like. I'm scared of raising my voice 'cause everyone will think that I'm gonna fight. This world was made for them, this world is made for me. How am I supposed to exist when a friend is an enemy? If I can't save myself, if it's all black and white, if
this is Who Do I Turn To? Joy wrote the song at a time when the United States was experiencing a self-reckoning. George Floyd had been murdered by police in Minneapolis around a week before. Protests erupted around the world, and people were confronted by systemic violence towards Black people at the hands of the police. For so many of us, including Joy, there was so much anger and despair in our minds. And while many of us channeled this despair into educating ourselves, our conversations with our friends, or posting on social media, Joy channeled it into music. She sat down with singer and songwriter Natalie Hemby for a writing session.
She just straight up asked me, "How are you?" like the moment the Zoom came up, and I was just really honest.
Joy told Natalie about the sadness she felt and the history that came to mind.
In 1992, LA was on fire because the police, the LAPD, brutalized Rodney King. And I was born in 1992. And to be 3 months old in a world where they're fighting against police brutality of Americans, Black citizens, and then to be almost turning 30 in a world where people are protesting for the exact same thing, broke me a little.
And Natalie talked to her about it and asked her about it.
Natalie came up with the idea of the question, who do I turn to? And literally we were talking back and forth, and she's like, what are you scared of? What makes you angry? And just, we basically took the sentences that the answers to her questions, as I was speaking, we just sort of wrote it into song form.
For Joy, creating the song wasn't something meant to capitalize on the attention around the Black Lives Matter movement. It was a personal and therapeutic act.
Writing that song was very healing for me. And just being this is what it's like. This is the first time I've heard what it's like in such concise language, you know? And so I think I owe it to others who might need that processing to put it out.
If I can't turn to God, and I can't turn to you, who do I turn to? Who do I turn to?
Who Do I Turn To was a song about aloneness, about fear, and about loss. And many of the songs Joy writes about have some element of these emotions. But Joy has an amazing sense of humor, and she's not afraid to be herself. She's funny and quirky, and her songs reflect this part of her. Here's one of those songs.
And you're on your own. You've been trying, but the fight never goes away. And you don't know when the sun will shine again. All you gotta do is look my way. If you got a problem, I got a problem too. If you're standing at the bottom, I'll reach out for you. If you need someone to lean on, baby, I can be strong. I will carry you through. If you got a problem, I got a problem too.
So this song is super uplifting. It's about friendship, solidarity, and unconditional love. Kind of like another song you might know.
I grew up listening to old soul music, and Bill Withers, Lean On Me is my anthem. And I've always wanted to take a mediocre crack at a song like that.
But I have to say, one of the best parts about the song is the music video. It is so out of the box. And so I had to show it to Benjamin.
Okay, so there's a white car coming around the corner in the night.
Yeah, it looks like a motel or something.
Yeah, it's parking. This guy's getting out. We can't really see his face. Whoa, there's someone behind him. It looks like he's chasing this person.
So he's basically asking him for his overdue rent.
Right. Oh my god, the guy was just looking in a mirror and he looked up, and in the back of the mirror there was a puppet levitating behind him.
And who's the puppet of?
It's Joy. It's the puppet of Joy.
It turns out that the puppets in this video weren't just a random out of the blue thing. Joy loves puppets.
And the video is everything I have ever dreamed a video could be as someone who is obsessed with puppets.
Yeah, she is really into puppets.
I took a pilgrimage to drive down to Atlanta by myself so I could go to the International Puppet Museum. It was amazing. It was the best day of my life. And I was the only person on the tour. Shocking. So I just got for 2 hours, I got to ask any question I wanted about puppets. And I took up every minute of that time.
And it turns out, music and puppets have more in common than you might think.
I think what makes music unique is also what makes puppets unique. And that is, it just, you see a puppet, your guard is down. You hear music, your guard is down. It honestly is channeling my own emotion and my own struggle. And again, in hopes that it'll open people up to deal with their own stuff. And music just does that, and I don't know why or how, but I'm so happy that it does, because I love making it.
The next and last song we have today is the song that led me to Joy. I remember walking around my room getting ready one morning, not really paying attention to the Spotify playlist that was playing. But then I heard this. And I literally stopped what I was doing. And sat down to listen to this song.
Mama says I'm up to no good again. Couldn't make her proud though I did my best. I feel like a mess, I feel like I'm stuck in the wrong skin. I feel like I'm sick, but I'm having trouble swallowing my medicine. Sunday, carry me down to the water, wash me clean. I'm still struggling. Sunday, bury me under the weight of who you need me to be. Can't you see I'm struggling?
Sunday is a song about being queer in the church.
I grew up in a really religious family and a really religious town. And I, being a queer kid, not understanding that, it was okay to be queer, was maybe searching for some penance or, just trying to, figure myself out.
Eventually, Joy went to a Christian college, worked in a church, and was on track to be a pastor. Church was always important for her. It's one of the places her music career got started as she performed for her congregation on Sundays. But her church was non-affirming, meaning that they didn't explicitly agree to marry, ordain, hire, or baptize LGBTQ plus people. And Joy struggled to feel like she fully belonged.
That waterline specifically, I was baptized like 8 times. Like as if it like didn't take the first time. Like I just like got baptized over and over again because I was like, I just really want to do better. I just really want to be good. I just really want to be clean.
That's what Joy means when she sings this.
Sunday, carry me down to the water, wash me clean. I'm still struggling.
Eventually, Joy realized that non-affirming churches and institutions weren't right for her.
If God exists, I don't think it's a surprise to him, her, or whatever that I am queer. And I don't think it matters that I am queer. And so why am I suffering and leading other people into suffering, like by going to and supporting a non-affirming church? Like, why am I doing that?
So Joy left that church. But you don't just erase or forget a childhood of growing up in an institution that doesn't accept you.
I think people in those circles that are non-affirming, I think if they were actually faced with the damage that their words or like their theology does, there wouldn't be a non-affirming church left in the world.
Luckily, Joy was able to leave. The emotions and memories of growing up in a non-affirming church one day suddenly spilled out of her.
I like had a bad day at work. And so I like was gonna drive to like see my girlfriend, but I was like, I need half an hour. And I just like sat down and like wrote all my angry feelings about my mom not thinking I'm good enough or whatever. And then I played it on guitar really quick and voice memoed it. And then as I was driving home later that night, I was listening and I was like, oh, this is probably about me like being gay in the church and like figuring out myself and like coming to accept it.
And somehow it just felt right. It felt true.
I don't always feel like songs are special. Like sometimes I just write them and I'm like, this is good, this adequately expresses said emotion. But Sunday, the emotions just rang so true.
So Joy went with it. She wrote out the lyrics, the melodies, and the harmonies. She recorded it in the studio and released it as a single in 2019. The album cover displays a black and white photograph of Joy, her eyes closed and her head tilted slightly to the right. A cloth drapes over her shoulder, and her face is framed by a golden halo. It was immediately clear to me that Joy resembled Madonna, like the images you would see in a Renaissance painting. So I asked her about it.
I'm obsessed with the images of Mary, and just the idea of Mary as a figure of like this, you know, young girl who was ostracized by her religious community for reasons related to her sexuality, and like she made a path for herself, you know, and Joseph went with her and then she ended up giving birth to Jesus, so she's kind of a big deal. And one of the Bible stories that I like went to as I was like coming to terms with my own sexuality was like that of Mary. Like was the pregnant teen who gets kicked out and who is called unclean and who actually ends up bringing liberation and hope to more people than the people who shut her down could ever imagine. I don't know, I think a lot of religious stories are like that. It's about finding magic or the supernatural or the extraordinary on the margins with the people that you're afraid to touch or the people that make you uncomfortable, or like the magic is often with the people that society wants to reject or push down.
So to Joy, Sunday was one step on the journey of accepting and loving herself, not despite who she was, but because of who she was.
Like I am 12-year-old Joy in a sense, if you want to get crazy, you know, like, and like 12-year-old Joy like still needs a song like Sunday on some days, you know, and I'm really grateful that it exists, if I can say that, as the person who wrote it.
And other people feel the same way. Even though Joy and I have had very different life experiences, this song speaks to me every time I listen to it. I religiously play it on Sunday mornings, no pun intended, and I let Joy's voice pour over me like water, cleansing me of the past week and giving me vitality for the week ahead. And I'm not the only one. To so many people, Sunday has become that song. Here's Benjamin.
I like to listen to it on Sundays, and it makes me feel like, you know, maybe the week ahead is really busy, really intimidating. I have a lot that's on my mind, and it makes me feel like I can take on that week, no matter what those things coming up in that week are. Every time I hear it, I just feel like I can do anything, and that, you know, I am loved in this world, and that it's just such a beautiful feeling every time I listen to the song.
And here are a few of her other fans who sent us voice notes about what it means to them.
For me personally, Sunday is connected to a day of rest and sacredness, but can also be really painful, but there's also joy that comes along with that. And in the music video, I was like, wow, there are people experiencing pain, joy, and freedom all at once, and so many emotions are going on. And I just felt like it was a very beautiful way to reveal just how complicated being human really is.
For me, this song is about learning to face your demons and embracing who you are. It's something that I've struggled with. I've been put a lot of pressure on myself to be like this perfect and completely unrealistic version of myself. I think the more I accept that who I am is enough, the more free and less burdened I am in my life.
Like Joy Ladakun, grew up in the church, following its teachings until I realized that by doing so I was doing harm to myself and others. I moved away from that kind of religion and moved toward a kind of spirituality that is still hard for me to define. When I first heard the song Sunday, I immediately latched onto the idea of God or Sunday or whomever. I'll take help wherever I can get it, so here I am reaching out. That's about as much certainty as I have right now, so I'm really thankful for a song that helps me put my feelings to words.
And in this unexplainable feeling that Joy's music has brought to all of us, she's done what she set out to do.
I don't make music for people to fall in love with me. It is an added bonus for my little ego. I just so appreciate it when people like hear my stories and like are able to find themselves in it. I make music to help myself and to be better and to grow and to like wrestle with my demons. And I hope by releasing it that like my music provides that space for other people to do so.
Sunday, carry me.
And now for our credits.
This podcast was created on Lenape land in New York.
Andrew Dewey composed our theme music and provided background music for this episode.
Otis Gray gave us feedback as our editorial advisor and mentor.
Jesse Sheldon designed our cover art, and Nick Bluebird Lane designed our episode art.
Nina Durga designed our website, and Metzli Nieves administered our social media.
This podcast is supported by funds from a Creativity and Innovation at Colorado College Student Seed Innovation Grant. A big thank you to Sierra Kowalczyk, Honor Hunter, and Sarah Chung for sending in voice notes about what Joy's music means to them. Their work is linked in the episode description, and we'd highly recommend checking it out. I'm Trisha McCurgy.
I'm Benjamin Swift.
And thank you so much for listening to People Place Power. If you liked what you heard today, be sure to follow and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at People Place Power and email us your thoughts at hello@peopleplacepower.com. If you want to learn more or donate to our production fund, check out our website at peopleplacepower.com. As we wrap up the season, we'd love to hear any of your thoughts and feedback, so please do reach out to us and let us know if you want to listen to a second season.
Trisha and I are so grateful that you joined us on this journey. We really hope you enjoyed listening to these stories as much as we loved sharing them with you. Thanks again.